From the City of Angels, off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. We've got open lines for you this hour. And also some other great news. Those of you who live in the Los Angeles area, beginning Monday next week, we will be live again on KFI The Monster, 640 AM, live at 10 p.m., and then the full program, and then they'll be doing part of the repeats, so we'll be on until 5 a.m. in the morning. So 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. in the morning on The Monster, KFI. Many of you over the past year have written the station saying, hey, we'd like to get Coast to Coast back on earlier. Can you do it for us? And they've listened, and so it shall be. Those of you who just want to make a little pop over to the coasttocoastam.com website. That information is going to be there for you so you can tell your friends and family members as well. But again, beginning next Monday, 10 p.m. live on KFI, 640 a.m. on your dial. Next hour, Merlin, not the magician, but a machine that predicts future trends with our guests, Paul Gersio and Dr. George Hart. And they've got some startling predictions, by the way. I had a great day today. I was invited down to the Paramount Studios to meet Scott Bakula, who, like I am, is from St. Louis, and his makeup artist, Jeff Lewis, who's also from St. Louis. It's an entire St. Louis contingency on Star Trek Enterprise. But he invited me down there to take a look at the set and chat, and I did. As you know, this is the last season for Star Trek Enterprise. Last will be in May of this year. That'll be it. I asked Scott, by the way, that if he can make himself available to be our guest for 1 hour sometime next week. He thinks he can do that, so we shall attempt that. I don't have the day yet. He's checking his schedule, but we'll open up the phone lines for an hour and give you an opportunity to talk with Captain Jonathan Archer as well. But it was fun, and let me tell you something. When you watch Star Trek Enterprise on television and you look at the bridge and the rest of the machinery and the computers, you think, oh my, look at this thing. And then you get there and it's even more awesome in person because you know it's a set, because right behind it there's a piece of wood. But it's really kind of neat to watch. And let me also say that they are great people. Absolutely had a great time watching them taping one of their episodes. The Hubble Space Telescope and a mission to explore Jupiter's moons look to be the biggest casualties in NASA's 2006 budget plans. Under the proposals, a mission to service Hubble would be scrapped and the observatory would be brought back down to Earth. NASA's total budget would rise 2.4% over 2005 to about $16.5 billion. But only $93 million would be spent on Hubble. $75 million of that would be used to develop a robot mission to steer it into the ocean to end its life. The space agency has fared better than most government agencies in President Bush's 2006 budget request, but the White House is not seeking as much money for the space agency as had previously been planned, and that, of course, is bad news for Hubble. Hubble is a spacecraft, they say, that is dying, and it shall go. That's unfortunate. It would have been nice to see that continue. Also, the multi-billion dollar Jupiter Icy Moons Orbiter mission was to have been launched in 2015. Looks like that's going to be put on hold. That was going to be a demonstration for Project Prometheus, which was a nuclear power and propulsion initiative. That's not going to happen. They just say that it is too ambitious. So be it. Pope John Paul II will remain hospitalized a few more days as a precaution. The Vatican made this announcement, and also the Holy See's number two official for the first time has publicly addressed the issue of a possible papal resignation. Papal spokesperson Joaquin Navarro-Valls said the 84-year-old pope, who said he was continuing to improve, had no fever, was eating regularly, and was sitting in a chair every day for several hours. There's a quote. Let's leave all of this about the resignation up to the Pope's conscience. If there is a man who loves the church more than anyone else, who is guided by the Holy Spirit, if there's a man who has marvelous wisdom, that's him. We must have great faith in the Pope he knows what to do. So we'll sit back and see. However, it's become known today that the Pope apparently came within minutes of death when he was rushed to a hospital last week. Despite gasping for breath and feeling as though he was suffocating, he twice refused to go to the hospital. But finally his aides say, you know what, we're going. We caught him by a whisker. If he had come in 10 minutes later, he would have been gone, they say. There could be history made tomorrow. Israeli and Palestinian leaders say they will declare a formal end to more than 4 years of fighting. That's current fighting. They have been fighting since almost the beginning of time. But they say that they will have a summit tomorrow in Egypt, a breakthrough in Mideast peacemaking that comes after both sides also accepted invitations to meet separately with President Bush at the White House. The ceasefire deal, finalized during last-minute preparations Monday on the eve of the summit, was the clearest indication yet of the momentum following Yasser Arafat's death. The election of a new Palestinian leader and a signal from the White House that it plans a renewed push for peace. Now, the most important thing at the summit will be a mutual declaration of ceasing violence against each other. In addition, both sides have agreed to form committees. One will determine the criteria for the release of Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails, and the other to oversee the gradual withdrawal of Israeli forces from Palestinian cities. Also, there will be an end to Palestinian incitement to violence, such as Palestinian television and radio broadcasts that glorify suicide bombers and other attackers. I have long believed that if they continued to pump that kind of information into the minds of young people, that we were creating a problem for years and years to come. That's a good move to get this stopped. As a matter of fact, they should change their television and radio programming and start generating some positive messages to these youngsters, because there's no telling how much damage has already been done. Now listen to this. If you think Big Brother is watching you, in New Orleans, a man aimed an AK-47 at a newly installed crime camera, fired away. Guess what? It got him arrested. The camera immediately notified the police, and they tracked him down until he was caught. New Orleans is installing a citywide security system with state-of-the-art cameras that can monitor an 8-block area around each one, as well as communicate with police, track crime in an area, and provide proof in court. Now, they say it's not Big Brother, insisting that it's more like the old days when cops walked the beat. Then, like government spying, the cameras were originally designed to provide evidence in court when witnesses were too intimidated to testify. Now, these are high-resolution cameras. They produce recognizable images in all light levels. The cameras can read a license plate up to 400 feet. Now, they first went into operation in October, and technicians have been demonstrating this. They almost caught a drug dealer standing at the corner. They just couldn't get there in time. But they are absolutely convinced that this is the wave of the future. I wonder if that will happen wherever we go. Cameras, cameras everywhere. The highly anticipated microchip that will power the Sony PlayStation 3 game system made its debut today. Now, Sony Corporation, Toshiba, they showed off the inner workings of a chip intended to run a new generation of electronics, dubbed a supercomputer on a chip. The Cell microprocessor has until now been long in ambition but short on specifics. At a technical conference in San Francisco, three electronic giants described a chip that could provide 10 times the performance of the latest PC chips and churn through many tasks at once. Inside the chip, 8 processing units will churn through data at speeds above 4 gigahertz or billions of a cycle per second, ahead of even the fastest chips now that Intel is making. How fast can these computers go? This email, and by the way, from, well, I'm not going to give you her name because there's an obvious reason for this. Let me read this to you. And as you know, we follow these stories of these dead microbiologists, Stephen Quayle reporting to us that it is close to 53 to 55 now. George, I wanted to write and keep you updated on what's going on in Memphis regarding the death of a microbiologist who supposedly was blown off the Memphis-Arkansas bridge a few years ago. Right now, the former medical examiner, Dr. O.C. Smith, is being prosecuted by the federal government for lying to them. Dr. Smith was found outside the medical examiner's office with barbed wire wrapped around his body and a motion-sensitive bomb attached to his chest. Dr. Smith claims that an unknown man did this to him. The feds believe he did it to himself. Why do I tell you this about Dr. Smith? Dr. Smith was the medical examiner at the time of the microbiologist's death. I believe Dr. Smith is a very scared man, and I, for one, don't blame him one bit. Anyone who has lived in this town for any amount of time knows very well that no one in the history of this city has ever been blown off the bridge. I have watched many people through the years who have tried to commit suicide by jumping, who were on the outside ledge of the bridge, and they were never blown off. This entire story sounds of a cover-up to me, and it starts with the death of a microbiologist, in a story, of course, that we will continue to follow because there's something strange going on with the deaths of these 50-some now microbiologists. You ever wonder about animals that they test for medical purposes and for things like that? Secret documents describing how some monkeys can scream in misery, fear, and anger during experiments were produced in high court in England as evidence that the laws intended to protect laboratory animals apparently are not. Excerpts from Cambridge University's internal papers say that one out of several sites where primate research is carried show the very strange things of screaming animals trying to get out of their boxes, very angry animals. Scientists and technicians are advised in the documents to punish the bad habits of the monkeys, stating that these bad habits include the normal self-grooming. I have mixed feelings about this. First of all, you wonder if it's worth it using an animal to save a human being, to come up with medicine. At the same time, when you begin to hear more and more reports that these animals feel like we do, have emotions like we do, then you really have to think twice about what you're doing with these tests. As a matter of fact, listen to this one. They say that worms squirming on a fish hook feel no pain, nor do lobsters and crabs cooked in boiling water, according to a scientific study funded by Norwegian's government. I have no idea how they know they're not in pain, but they simply say that they don't have the kind of nervous system in order to feel the kind of pain that we do. In Michigan, a 4-year-old boy drove his mother's car to a video store for a quarter of a mile from their apartment, ramming into a few cars. When he came back, the store was closed, by the way, he was found by an officer, and he rammed into his car as well. The 4-year-old boy apparently got up and did this. His mother didn't even know that. She does admit, though, that she had been driving with him on her lap, letting him steer one day. Maybe teaching him how to drive. And also for you truck drivers, be careful. Don't get caught speeding in India, where they will pull you out of your cab and make you hop like a frog. Police dish out humiliating punishments instead of taking offenders to court. For the most popular punishment, truck drivers have to leapfrog, sitting on their haunches, holding their ears, hopping for 3,000 feet as punishment. Be careful when you're in India. Here are the phone numbers. We've got open lines for you this hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, that's open for you now at 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is the week of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you?
Hi, this is Dana from California.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, George. I listen to your show every night, and I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
I'm a budding astrologer, and I noticed when I was looking up some planets that about 5 planets are in conjunction with Aquarius, the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Neptune, and I was just wondering if there were any astrologers out there listening and if they knew what that meant, because I know it's some kind of major planetary thing.
So you're just practicing, so you don't know what it means yet?
I don't. And I was just curious if anyone out there who would know could call in and let me know.
Well, we'll find out. What do you think it could mean? I mean, what's the significance of all of this?
I don't know. I just know that when planets are in conjunction like that, it's rare, and I don't know if it causes planetary changes.
Oh,
some
I think.
Kind of energy it, thing.
Hey, there was a lineup when the tsunami hit.
Yeah. You know, that's what I wondered.
Okay.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
All
Thanks
right,
a
bye-bye.
Lot. Appreciate you being on the program. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. You sound like you're driving a truck.
Yeah.
All right. Don't get caught speeding in India. You'll have to leapfrog.
Oh, no. Ain't no way I'm going to leapfrog.
What's going
on? I'll tell you what. I look more like a grizzly bear than a frog.
All right.
Yeah. This. My name is Greg. I live, I told your screener that I'm over here by Mount Vernon, which is where I'm at right now. But I'm from Iowa.
Mount Vernon, of course, about, 100 miles from St. Louis?
Yeah, about 70. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, there's this farmhouse up there. Well, it used to be a farmhouse up there that people would go out during the most ideal conditions, and they try to take pictures of it because they claimed it was haunted. The weird thing about this was, they had professional photographers go out there, and no matter what, the pictures would always come out fuzzy or cloudy or something like that. And the thing that really ended up being weird about it was about 3 years ago, this house burned down.
What was going on in that house that would have so many strange things happening to it?
Well, I don't know. Supposedly, from what I understand, there is a guy that... back during the Korean War era, he came home and went berserk, killed his wife and both kids.
God.
And then killed himself, too.
So that house is definitely plagued.
It's definitely strange. But like I said, the thing that's really weird is about 3 years ago, the house burned down.
All the way to the ground, no more, all gone.
To the ground, all gone.
I wonder if that helped cleanse
there,
that.
There was a guy, the guy that lived next door bought the place, and he put horses in there. Well, his daughter was out there riding here a couple of years ago, and he took some pictures of his daughter, and in the background is the house.
That's weird.
Yep.
Absolutely strange.
It definitely is, man.
What did he say about that?
He didn't know what to think. He knew the story of the house and whatnot, but the fact that it was, it showed up in the background of the pictures.
As clear as day?
Yep, just like it was brand new.
All right, well, you know what? He should take the horses off the ground and probably never build anything there, because that place is plagued, no doubt. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Hey.
Hi.
I've been trying to call you forever.
Forever's a long time.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for a little while now. And I'm in Oregon right now. I'm calling from Grants Pass, Oregon.
Sure.
And I go to college down here. And my professor came in one day, and he said the speed of light is slowing down.
How can that be?
I don't know, but I started thinking about it, and I was trying to figure out what would happen to the world if the speed of light slowed down. And I was wondering if you could...
Did the good professor have a explanation why it was?
No, he did not.
Well, then how did he know it was?
I have no idea, but I started thinking about it, and I said to myself, what would happen if the speed of light actually slowed down?
That is a good question. I have no idea. Maybe one of our astronomers or physicists may write in and let me know. But next time you see the professor, find out how he knows the speed of light is slowing down. I don't think it is. I don't think so.
Get it in writing with the After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505. At area code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I'll tell you about the After Dark CD. This is 2.5 hours of great bumper music for you, ghost stories, and some classic phone calls to the show. It is the only CD I'm going to do. And those of you who might want to pick it up, well, you can get it off the website at afterdarkcd.com, or also get the link, which is on the coasttocoastam.com website. You can also call this toll-free number. Here you go. 1-800-598-2331. 1-800-598-2331. At the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about the Merlin Project. This is a machine that looks at future trends, helps predict the future. To the phones we go. Let's go. Hey, Philip Play calling us, the Bad Astronomer. Hey, Philip, how are you?
Hi, George.
Hey, I'm glad you did call. I've got some questions for you.
Decided to call in when you got like 3 astronomy questions in a row.
Yeah, first of all, is light slowing down? I don't think so. The speed of light?
No, it's not. As far as we can tell, it's not. There's a claim out there that the speed of light is slowing down, that it was faster in the past. Most of the people making this claim are actually young Earth creationists, and they want the Earth to be 6,000 years old,
uh-huh,
as opposed to 4.5 billion years old for the Earth and 14 billion for the universe. And one of the big problems with this is, well, how do we see stars that are really far away? And we definitely see stars that are, you know, thousands and millions of light years away.
Of course.
And so if the speed of light were faster in the past, then a galaxy, you know, a billion light years away, we'd be able to see the light, because back then the light was traveling much faster. The problem is they tend to show plots which show the speed of light decaying, but what they're really showing is that as time has gone on, we're measuring the speed of light better, and that way back in the past they couldn't measure it very well and they thought it was going a lot faster.
Okay, that explains that. What about the aspiring astrologer now, who wants to know about planetary alignments? Do they affect anything?
Well, there were a couple of things I want to say about that. One is that the planet's gravity really does not affect us. I actually calculated this back in 2000, because there was a big planetary alignment that was supposed to destroy the Earth. on May 5th of 2000, mm-hmm. and you may remember that as the day that the Earth was not destroyed, one of many that we've had along those lines. And it turns out that if you add up all the planets' gravity at the point in their orbits when their gravity is maximized on the Earth, it's a tiny fraction of the moon's gravity.
Yeah, I was going to say, the moon is a separate story altogether.
Yeah, it's 50 times the gravity the moon is of all the planets. And in fact, the moon's orbit is an ellipse, and so sometimes its gravity is stronger and sometimes it's weaker. And some people say, well, it's the change in the gravity of the planets that does this. But the moon's gravity changes far more than the planets does, and we see no evidence of earthquakes tied to the moon's position.
Okay. And lastly, explain to us why we only see one side of the moon.
I heard about this on the show the other day. The moon is rotating. If the moon were not rotating, we would see all sides of it, well, the whole thing, that is, over the course of a month, which is how long it takes the moon to go around.
Yeah.
But the moon actually spins once on its axis for every time it goes around the Earth once. And that way it keeps the same face towards us. It's really hard to explain this, and it's hard to picture, but if you take a couple of oranges or apples or something like that, keep one as the Earth, make one the moon, and try to get one to go around the other so that one side always faces the one that's the Earth,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see that you have to spin it once a month. And it's not a coincidence. A lot of people think, well, that's impossible. It's a coincidence. It's actually a natural outcome of the way the moon and Earth's gravity interact with each other. It has slowed the moon's rotation down. And this happens with all the planets' moons, that is. It's called tidally locking the moon. And it has to do with tides, and it's very complicated. I have a page about it on my website. And as a matter of fact, while I was on hold there, I was flapping together a couple of links on my main page. So if people go to badastronomy.com, there will be links to these pages that I'm talking about here, and it explains all of this.
What would happen if the moon were 100,000 miles closer or further from where we are now?
Well, that would be bad. the tides on the moon, that the moon exerts on the Earth, that's what gives us the ocean tides. And if the moon were closer, half as close, say, then those tides would be 8 times stronger. It goes with the cube of the distance. So if it's 2 times closer, it's 2 times 2 times 2, which is 8 times stronger. And that would probably be enough to cause earthquakes and much more flooding. It would be pretty bad.
See? There is a design then, Philip.
Well, I think it's coincidence that it's as far away as it is now.
Yeah, right. Coincidence.
Hey, well, you and I disagree on this.
All right. Thanks, okay. My friend. You take
sure
care.
Thing.
Bye.
Good night.
That's Philip Plait, the bad astronomer, listens to the show on a regular basis, and he's just giving us some feedback. Back to the phones, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George. This is Michael calling you from WFLA, 540 AM, Orlando, Florida.
Welcome. Well, Tampa and Orlando. We've got them all over
together.
The place. Yep.
George, I want to invite you to a very special online event.
Oh?
It's called 9/11 on Trial. It starts on March the 7th, 2005. Please mark it on your calendar, everybody. It comes on the computer, www.wingtv.net. In fact, if you go to it now, you'll see some of the promos.
We don't want to go to it now. My show's on there.
But it's fantastic, George. It's going to be fantastic.
What's that date again?
March the 7th, 2005. What will happen is actors will represent attorneys who are presenting a case against the federal government in a court of law that 911 was no...
This is a real case, not an acting case. You're just saying actors are playing the role of what's really happening.
Yes, actors are playing a role of lawyers who are presenting a case in a courtroom.
Okay, I got to run, Michael. We got to take this break, but that's March 7th. I'll look at it. I'm interested in that. I'll look at it. Back with more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, and those of you in Los Angeles land, once again on February 21st, Coast to Coast will start live again on KFI at 10 p.m. We are the highest rated program on the air there from 1 a.m. to 5, but we're going to be live from 10 p.m. And those of you who still enjoy listening to Coast very late or into the early morning hours. That program's going to be there for you, too. We're going to be on until 5 o'clock in the morning, so you're not going to miss anything. KFI, by the way, is a monster station on the West Coast where we are now, and its tower got hit by a small plane about a month or so ago, and they are in the process of rebuilding that with a brand new state-of-the-art tower, which will be just even better for us at night with that 50,000 watts that they spit out. So that will happen. But they've been operating, limping, by the way, since that plane hit that tower, going through the FCC regulations and everything else to get that rebuilt. That's going to happen too. So a lot of great things happening on the West Coast, and a lot of great things happening on the East Coast as well, now that we're back on WABC, and some other things coming down the pike for you pretty soon that I'll talk about. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Monty. I'm calling from Toledo, Washington.
Monty, for a moment, I thought I had my old friend Alex Jones on the air.
I wanted to call you and tell you that I finally shot a Bigfoot.
What do you mean you shot a Bigfoot?
I shot a Bigfoot, I'm telling you. I was up there near Mount St. Helens now. This weekend, we were up there just looking around, and I saw some rustling up there in the woods, and I went ahead and shot, and it turned out to be a damn Bigfoot.
Well, why'd you shoot it?
Well, I don't know, but all I know is that it got up and took off.
Well, how do you know? How do you know you hit it?
Well, because I made contact with it.
What do you mean, contact with it? Explain that.
Well, I went up to him, and I was looking around, and I'm like, oh, man, Monty, you shot yourself with God dang Yeti.
How close were you to this creature?
Oh, I was about 200 yards out.
And can you describe what it looked like?
Well, it looked like a damn bear. I know we weren't really supposed to be hunting up there for bear anyway. Well, you probably just do it.
Oh, Monty, you're committing all kinds of violations up there.
Yeah, well, it was, it's against the law to shoot a Bigfoot in Skamania County.
Say, I don't know why you went ahead and shot it. I mean, better to have just looked at it and gone your merry way.
Yeah, well,
what if it was a person?
It took off on me. And all I know is I made contact with it after I shot it. Now I'm sick.
What do you mean, now you're sick?
I think I got the flu from it. But oh. It could be coincidental. But I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know what to say. Did you see any blood in that area after you took a shot?
Yeah, I took a shot at it, and I dropped it. And we went up and looked at it, and it took off.
Well, so it's wounded somewhere out there in the mountains.
Yeah. All I know is I got
You're lucky the thing didn't come back and tear you apart.
That's right. You're damn right.
Well, all I know is, unless you're in jeopardy, unless your life is at stake, I'm opposed to people just taking shots at things, at animals. And it could have been a person, too. I mean, there you had a possibility of being able to witness something that a lot of us would like to witness, and you shoot at it. It wasn't coming at you. I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't think so. First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I just wanted to call in and ask you a question if you know an answer to
it. I will try. Only if you tell me where you're calling from.
Monticello, Illinois.
Okay.
A friend of mine told me a story about a friend of his that was in the Iraq War, and he told me there's spiders out there that are as big as like a small dog.
Oh, yes. He's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, Lex has a couple months ago posted one of those critters on our website. They are ugly.
Okay, I didn't know if he was pulling my leg or...
I think they're called the Jerusalem spiders, as a matter of fact. They're horrible looking. I mean, they're huge.
I heard they can really...
They look almost... They're almost as big as crabs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They are one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
Okay.
Maybe, Lex, you can put a little picture up. Not a big one, just a little tiny one. Go up to our website, take a look at it.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thanks, George.
Okay. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from, sir?
Good. I'm calling from Wichita Falls, Texas.
Okay. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a truck driver. I'm just driving. I started listening to your show and wanting to call and share experience I had with
you. Sure. How'd you find us, by the way? Just scanning the dial?
Yeah, I just scanned the dial on the XM radio, and I came across the Art Bell, and I'm familiar with Art Bell, so I started listening to you. And
everybody's familiar with Art Bell.
Yeah, my mom got me into that.
Yeah, good for her. Channel 165.
Yep, exactly. Got
it. Well, tell me your story.
Well, it's almost like it was real life, but I almost think it was a dream, but there's some things that stick out about it that makes me think if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't a dream or if it was.
All right, what happened?
Well, it starts out, if you can imagine this, I was staying up at my dad's house up in Colville, Utah.
Okay.
And this is up in the middle of the mountains and up Chalk Creek Canyon. He has a house up there just out in the middle of nowhere. And I was out there staying the night with him, and I got up in the middle of the night, and it's been storming all night, lightning and stuff, and this was clear as day. That's why I think it wasn't a dream. But it was clear as day when I think back on the memory of it, and I got up in the middle of the night to go get a drink of water, and so I get up, and I walk down the hallway into the kitchen there, and the lightning looked like somebody just turned it on permanently, and lights were shining through the windows.
Yeah, it was that bright, crackling everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it was almost like a permanent light just coming through the windows, and I was like almost half awake, half asleep, and I was just thinking, what the heck's going on? And I looked back down the hall towards my dad's room, and my room was right across from my dad's.
Yeah.
And he sleeps with his door shut. Well, I look down the hall, and I see like almost like a misty fog coming out of my room, and like this alien creature or something come out with the big black eyes.
Out of the room you left.
Yeah, the room I left. And he'd come out, and he was in, almost in the fog, and he was wearing like a black, it looked like a nylon kind of spandex suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just looking right at me, and I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do nothing. I just totally dropped the glass right there, and I couldn't move. And I fell to the ground, and he had this like, almost looked like a flashlight, pin flashlight, and he just charged right at me. And that's all I can remember. I woke up, and my dad was shaking me the next morning, woke me up, and I was in the kitchen on the floor.
You were in the kitchen, and let me ask you: was the glass on the floor, or had
it was on the floor.
It was.
The water was all over. My dad's OCD, and he's kind of pissed off about the cup being on the floor and all that.
A couple things happened to you: either you passed out, and something happened like that medically, or this was a real event.
Yeah. See, I wanted to go get.
You're not a sleepwalker, are you?
No, I've never had anything happen like that before, besides that one time. And ever since then, I get up in the middle of the night, and I just keep looking in the shadows, and I've been paranoid ever since.
Did you talk to your father about this?
No, I didn't explain it to him.
You might want to ask him if he has seen some strange lights in the area at night.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe this is happening to him, too.
Uh-huh.
I would definitely check into that. But it's one of two things. It either happened or it didn't. And the big question is, what was it? Pretty compelling that it was out there in the wild, though. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Good evening, George.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. I was, you know, it's funny that you were talking about that story in India. I just got back from India. This is Captain Kurt, and I was over there driving truck, and I'm doing that now in the United States here in Arizona.
Well, I'm glad they didn't stop you for speeding.
Well, you know what's really funny is before this all came to light, they were making us hop on the side of the road, and a lot of it was for fun, but a lot of it was humiliating. But also, if you could stop twice the same month, they would give you like a decal that you would have to keep on your driver door, so everybody that you passed in the daytime would obviously see that you had been a speeder prior.
Right, it's like a Scarlet A, the like the movie,
exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that they were doing is they were talking about when I left to come over here back to the United States was to hang rubber chickens from your driver's mirror and your passenger mirror and just other things like that if you got stopped. But I left prior to that. But it was getting really comical over there, and it's great to hear the program.
I think I'd rather go to court and pay the ticket.
You know, I think so, because I know there's a lot of truck drivers that couldn't do the frog down the shoulder of the road or what have you, but it was kind of funny to see two or
yep, and you're breaking up right at the end, too. Thanks, we got the point. east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's Marvin out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Hello, Marvin.
Hey, a little ghost story I got for you.
Okay.
Back in 89, I was stationed in Colorado Springs with the Air Force, and I was part of the security police. A little after midnight, we get a report from an alarm that there's a person out on the perimeter fence line. Well, we had to go out to investigate and maybe arrest this person. When we get out there, there's a shadow of a human being in the fence line.
But no human being.
But no human being. Now, this is a shadow that's standing up. Not on the ground, but standing up. Well, we went to go after it to try to get it, you know, apprehend it.
How are you going to apprehend a shadow?
That's one of the scary things is that when we went towards it, the shadow went through the fence line away from us. And then when we backed up from it, it came back through the fence line into the light.
And just kind of like stood there?
And just stood there. Now, it wasn't just two of us because we called for assistance from this, and there was 15 Air Force cops there watching this and doing the same thing we had just done.
How tall was the shadow?
About 5 to 6 feet.
Okay, so it was like the shadow of a man.
Right.
What kind of a form did it take?
It took the, you could see the head, you could see the shoulder, the arm, the legs, the whole nine yards of it.
It looked like a human or an animal?
It looked like it was human. And the thing is, too, is just to make sure that we weren't totally investigated for drugs and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
From the big guys, we also had the on-duty fire department down there looking at this thing, too.
Everyone saw this thing.
Everybody saw. Over 30 people saw this thing. The silly thing is that the entire perimeter fence line is camera-activated motion sensors. The very next day at the end of our shift, when this was all reported so forth, to the office of special investigations with the Air Force came and confiscated all of our notes and all of our film just to make sure that this stuff just did not come back to life.
Now, that is strange. That is strange. Those camera-activated forms and equipment, did they go off that night?
That's what alerted us to go down there and investigate this person, this shadow in the fence line.
That's incredible. So a shadow that took some physical form enough where the cameras would go on. That is strange. We'll be back in a moment as we talk about Merlin and not the magician, right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.